Welcome to this week's Books and Culture podcast with Books and Culture's editor, John Wilson, and I'm Stan Guthrie. And today, John, you've brought in a book called Booked. Tell us about it, please.
You can probably imagine, Stan, that this was something that quickly caught my eye, and it would have, even if it weren't for the fact that the author, Karen Swallow Pryor, is someone who has written for Books and Culture and also for CT. And she is a professor of literature at Liberty University. And this book, as you said, called Booked, Literature and the Soul of Me, is published by a small press that's been doing a lot of interesting books lately called TS Poetry Press. This is not a straight memoir, and it's not just a book about books, but it's about the way that books have shaped and informed her life, and each chapter is organized around a particular book. And in the course of that chapter, she will talk a little bit about her life. So, for instance, the very first chapter, Books Promiscuously Read, talks about a return to her hometown in Maine and the library where she first started reading books. And it's a wonderful description of going back and looking at books that she checked out from that library as a kid. But the book that's the focus of that chapter, or in this case an essay, is John Milton's Areopagitica and his defense of reading promiscuously, of the power of the truth. And so therefore, people should be free to say what they want to say. They should be free to read what they want to read, and the truth will rise to the top.
And so this sort of chronicles her spiritual development.
It's her spiritual development. There's actually a couple of chapters which touch on the nature of marriage. There's a lot about growing up. So there's a passage about what it's like to be in eighth grade. And one thing that I've noticed, you and I have talked about this before, that on the one hand, I hate to generalize too much about women writers versus men, and because, of course, men write in many different ways and women write in many different ways. And yet there are certain things that you notice more often with women writers. And one thing that I notice with some women, at least, more than I find in men, is that they are more likely to reveal the embarrassments of life. I had an interesting experience years ago. This was quite a while back. But in a very short time, there were memoirs published by three leading American novelists, Philip Roth, John Updike, and Reynolds Price. And so I read the three of them together, and I was struck by the fact that none of them had hardly any scenes in their memoir that really made them look bad.
And I guess this one does.
The one that came closest was John Updike. He had a chapter about his psoriasis, which I didn't even know about until I read that, and how he had suffered from it all his life. That was really the closest. And I thought, my goodness, you know, if I wrote a memoir that had any degree of honesty in it, I would have to include some things that made me look really bad and foolish. And not just bad in the sense, sometimes you can write a memoir that makes you look bad, but bad is good. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of memoirs like that.
It's like on the employment application where you say your biggest weakness is workaholism or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And part of what I love about Karen's book, just one of the things I love about it, is the way that she gives us a sense of the quotidian, the everyday experience. It doesn't exaggerate it to the point of the grotesque, and doesn't, on the other hand, sort of paper it over. And it's interesting because one thing that she talks about in the book is how she had to overcome certain romanticized notions of life, including marriage and love and that sort of thing. She's very happily married, but she's happily married partly because she has a more realistic sense than she did when she was growing up of what that entails. And so I think that part of what makes the book for me so welcome is that grounding, which includes the willingness to remember things that happened in eighth grade, let's say, that most of us have experienced some time or another, but we'd rather not remember them, and we certainly don't want to share them with total strangers. And yet, to give an accurate picture of your life, you need to do that.
Would you like to share any of the books that she delves into?
And this may sound counterintuitive, but a number of the works that she chose to focus on in a given chapter were books that I have read and didn't like. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't think that they were important books, but they were books that in some way or another I didn't like, maybe made me mad because of the way the author saw the world. And it was very interesting for me to see those books through her eyes. I could give several examples. One would be Tess of the D'Urbervilles by Thomas Hardy. Mm-hmm. Another would be Madame Bovary by Flaubert.
Sure.
Another would be Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. Those are all things that I read, and they're all things that made me mad.
Then
on the other hand, some of the writers that she centers on, so one chapter, Gerard Manley Hopkins, and that's one of my favorite chapters. Another one, Jonathan Swift and Gulliver's Travels. Another one, John Donne. Those are writers, especially Hopkins and Swift, who I feel much closer to. It was very interesting to me to see those books, both the ones that I myself not just respected but liked, and then ones like Hardy, for instance. With Hardy, I'm always frustrated by his grimly deterministic setup. I feel like he stacked the deck. And the more I read, the farther I get in a book, the more that rankles. But I learned from seeing this particular book and Hardy more generally through Karen's eyes, and I had that experience in several cases. I think this book, I don't know whether she wrote it consciously with this in mind, I'm not sure, but I think this book can be read by different people at different times in their life. So it's very interesting to someone like me, who's nearer the end of my life than the beginning. I'm not too near, I hope. Nearer,
for
sure.
For that clarification.
But I also think it would be a really, really good book for a bright teenager to read. Mm. And I suspect, though I could be wrong, that Karen wrote it partly with that in mind, to say to someone who feels a bit of an outsider, who feels that there's a conflict between what they've been taught in their church, perhaps, or their school, perhaps by their parents even, though not in her case, but what they've been taught about books and the life of the mind, a sense that there might be some kind of conflict between that and faith, to encourage them, also to show, as someone who's gone before them, I had the same kind of fears or comparable fears to what you've had. I went through these stages, and this is what I learned. And it's a book that I suspect I will be giving myself to some young people who fit that description.
It sounds like a very unique book. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Dan.